How many here believe in God?
Yes.
No foolish people in this room. Amen? All right. We're in a series, our third of the series on the Holy Spirit. I told you, and Pat, we'll just do these point by point if we would real carefully this morning, and thank you. She always does a great job, doesn't she? Pat Perryman. I told you a couple of weeks ago that I was going to begin a series on the gifts of the Spirit. As we take a look in the Scripture, as we look at the expressiveness of the Holy Spirit in our congregation, in the midst of His family, His body, we want to understand the gifts of the Spirit. There was prophetic word this morning. Good word, my brother. Thank you for bringing it forward and being obedient to the Lord. And what we want to do is we want to hear God and respond to Him. How many want to hear the Lord? But as we take a look at a message on the gifts of the Spirit, or a series of messages on the gifts of the Spirit, we have to have context. And the context to the gifts of the Spirit is the fact that the gift is God Himself. I said the gift is God Himself. Turn to each other, say the gift is God Himself. So when we look at the gifts, we're not just wanting to get caught up in expressiveness or tangible identifications of things that God does. We want to remember God Himself. The Holy Spirit Himself is the fantastic gift of God. And so when we come together to worship the Lord, we worship Him as a bride responds to the bridegroom. That was in the prophetic as in essence this morning. There's this relationship between God who wants to be worshiped and His people. And so there's this conversation going back and forth between the bridegroom and his bride. And so when he says something, we want to respond to what he says. And so when the prophetic word came out this morning, I led us in a response to that message. Because we want to show the Lord we're listening, we're hearing, we're responding. But it's all about relationship with God. It's not about a thing He does. It's about who He is. How many love God in this room?
Amen.
Amen. There's a heightened interest in our day in spirituality or in religion or in spirituality. Probably that's the best word. Some long to know God, some long to know of God or about God, some long to know and discover a spirituality inside. You realize God created man with a God-shaped vacuum inside that He intends to fill. And He is inviting us to Himself to discover this rich and vast, personal, intimate relationship with God. God conceals the items in the Scripture, and He says it's the honor of kings to search it out. And He wants us, He beckons us, He calls us into relationship with Himself to fill this God-shaped vacuum with a personal, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. Are you in love with Him this morning?
Yeah.
But when you try to study Him from afar, a lot of people have identified relationship with God as either a series of do's or don'ts. A series of works that you have to do and a series of things. Or maybe there's pride and ego involved. And your God, how many know that your God, little g, full of light, isn't the answer for man's problems? You understand that? Doesn't mean you shouldn't have confidence in who God has made you. But I'm sorry, you are not God. I hate to disappoint you. I see some spouses turning to each other and say, see, I told you. Only Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Jesus departed physically. He ascended to heaven, the Scripture says, and He's now praying for us. But in His departure, God sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, the Scripture says, to guide us, lead us, teach us, convict us. Who is this Holy Spirit? What does He do? Is he just a force? May the force be with you? No. He's a person. He's God. He's not just an energy. He's not just a force or a force field. We can relate to God the Father. We can relate to the Son. But sometimes relating to the Holy Spirit is difficult. And as we move forward in this presentation over these next weeks on the gifts of the Spirit, I want us to remember what we're doing is responding in a love relationship to God Himself, welcoming the Holy Spirit in our lives. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is He? The Scripture says, holy, the word hagios, and in fact, if Pat will start these on the overheads, I'm going to bring some teaching this morning. So I have quite a number of scriptures and Greek and Hebrew words, but the word holy, what does it mean? Holy Spirit. Who is He? The Greek word is hagios. And it means an awful thing, sacred thing, morally blameless or religious or ceremonially cleansed. All right, what's the word ghost? In the King James, He's referred to as the Holy Ghost. And that gets a little scary for some people in today's day and age. They can't relate to that at all. And so He seems like a spooky thing. But what does the word mean? The Greek word is pneuma or pneuma. And it's a current of air, a blast, or a breath, a breeze, a spirit. God's Spirit. The essence of God Himself. He's holy. All right, we see that word. He's holy. What does it mean? Clean, pure, ceremonially and morally blameless. How many know there are a lot of spirits active in the world today? How many know not all of them are clean and pure? Somebody say amen real loud.
Amen.
They're not all clean and pure. Demonic activity is real. Now, people can be influenced by a spirit. People can be oppressed by a spirit if they open the door and yield enough times to it. Or they can completely surrender to that spirit and be possessed by that spirit. And people in America think, in the Western rational mindset, how can there be such a thing as demonic possession? But you go to Africa, you go to places where they're more attuned to the things of the spirit, and they clearly understand there is a spirit dimension. And folks, there is a spiritual dimension in life. Have you ever felt really oppressed by a wrong spirit? You're very quiet in here this morning. But have you ever felt that? Someone comes on or comes up close to you and there's something wrong and you know there's something wrong in their heart. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Maybe they're controlled by a spirit or oppressed by a spirit. And you begin to know how to pray and intercede for that person. But when you walk in the room, who comes in the room? Jesus does. The Holy Spirit does. God comes in. So they might feel a little freaked out by you, but it should be a very good freaking out. A clean spirit. Holy. Folks, why do evil people do evil things? Anybody can quickly talk about Hitler. We got a fantastic example, not fantastic in a good way, but how about this man who kidnapped someone for 18 years, kept her in captivity, fathered children by her? How many believe there are demonic spirits involved in that situation? Even by testimony of his own dad, when he was a young man, he got heavily involved in LSD, hallucinogenic drugs. And there are demonic spirits that can be involved. How many are glad to be delivered? Don't raise your hands. You don't have to tell us you took all that stuff. But God can deliver you, cleanse you, set you free. But there are extra things that are opened, a door to those things, as you participate in some of them. But God is clean. He's pure. He's righteous. He's giving. He's kind. He's loving. Yes, indeed, eventually God is judging and He will judge sin. So we find that He's holy, He's clean, He's pure, He's righteous without holiness. Hebrews 12, verse 14, please say it with me. Without holiness, no man will see God. Without what?
Holiness.
That's hagiosmos. Sounds a lot like the earlier word we had. Hagiosmos. Properly, it means purification, the state of purity, a purifier. How many know we call Him the Holy Ghost and fire? The purifier. Sometimes, anybody in this room, can you not be religious for a moment and look at me and say, every now and then you feel the fire of God in your life as He's doing a cleansing work? Unless you're already perfect and God never has to work with you. Anybody had any work in your life done this week by the Holy Spirit? Any attitudes checked? Anything? Yeah, okay, I think I'm preaching to the right crowd. Okay, we can go on. But He's a purifier. He's a purifier in our lives. He's clean and He's pure, and He wants us to be like Him. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him. And the Bible says, okay, Kev, then you need to be holy. Ghost. King James. Ghost. So we conjure up something that goes bump in the night. We can't relate. But this God is holy. And He's God. And He's good. And He's welcoming. Yes, He deals. But He loves us as He deals with us. So the Holy Spirit is God. Let's look at some important points as we go. What does it mean? He's got the same attributes as the Father and as the Son, Jesus. He is omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. What are you saying, Pastor Kev? Watch the Scripture. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." Is that Bible? It should be. It is. And so therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. All right, He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's all places at once. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Read it aloud with me, if you would, please. "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." The Holy Spirit is present with us all the time, if we welcome Him. He's omniscient. That means all-knowing. Read the Scripture with me. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." The Holy Spirit is eternal. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Please read it with me. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And He's equal. He's God. Acts 5, verses 3 through 4. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart?" Watch this. "To lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart?" Watch and read it with me, please. "You have not lied to men, but to God." He's God. Additionally, He's not just a force. He's not just an energy. He's God. He's to be respected, loved, received. He takes us to God. He takes us to the Father. He reveals Jesus to us. Additionally, God wants our worship, and He deserves it. How many of you know that even the worst of us in this room, no matter how poor you are still in the top one half of the world's percent in provision? 99.5% of the world is worse off than we are. Yeah, you haven't seen my bank book. But God has still given us something. Your very health this morning. You're alive. You can worship Him. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Say it with me. Praise the Lord. How do we do that? The Holy Spirit leads us. Watch John 4, 23 through 24. "But God is a Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." He will lead us. We'll follow His Spirit as He leads us in worship, but also in truth. Now, who is the truth? You're all thinking, He's testing us, and I'm not sure. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." God's Word is truth. God is truth, John 17:17 says. We must worship Him according to His Word. How do we do that, Lord? What do we do? What does the Holy Spirit do? All right, we're going to go through several points here this morning. Again, we're teaching, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? What's His place in our life? Because you see, as we come together congregationally, as we take a look at what He is doing, we come together to worship Him, and the Holy Spirit then releases gifts in our midst. But God Himself is the gift we want to worship. We don't want to get hung up on the gift more than the giver. We want the main thing, the gift. See it, if you will, the whole thing. See is the context of a jigsaw puzzle. and you get a peace in your preparation as you're at home worshiping God, preparing your heart to come together with others, and God gives another peace to somebody else, and God gives another peace to somebody else. We come together and God starts to put together the puzzle, and so by the end of our service, we should see who on the puzzle? Jesus. So God gives different gifts or parts or things for each of us to do. Remember, what does the Scripture say? When you come together, every person has a part. So we want to see Jesus. Who in this room wants to see Jesus?
Amen.
All right, you're all with me?
Yes.
All right, so what the Holy Spirit does. Number one, He's our comforter and our teacher. We need someone to teach us how to do all of this. Our teacher is the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26. Read it out loud with me, please. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. All right, number two, He's our guide. He comes alongside and leads us. The Greek word for this element of the Holy Spirit is He is the Paraclete. Paraclete, one who comes alongside, holds us, supports us. How many know that a couple of weeks ago, especially, we were sensitive and still are to bringing comfort to Elaine as she lost her mom who worshiped with us every Sunday. It's the function of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete who comes alongside. In fact, we're praying right now for Kathy who just lost her sister very suddenly. And we love Kathy and support her family and she and Skip. And so as the Paraclete, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, we come alongside. Anybody ever need a shoulder around you in your time of need?
Yes.
Sure. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so He's our guide. John 16, 13 through 15. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, Jesus is saying, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So He's our guide. Thirdly, He convicts and convinces us, or you. It's easier when I preach about you. He convicts and convinces you, or me, all of us together, of sin. John 16, verse 8. When He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. There's that umpire at the plate where you know you did something and you hear a voice behind you or inside your heart going, strike. Hopefully you hear it before you sin. Don't strike. All right? But there's that thing inside. You know what it's like. Ooh, shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I was harsh with my spouse. Or I really didn't walk in faith on that one. Or whatever it might be. Next, He prays for you. How many are glad God's praying for you right now? Romans 8, 26 and 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And especially, I want to tune in on something this morning. He speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Watch these next scriptures, if you would, please. Acts 8:29. Please say it with me. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Next, Acts 10:19-20. While Peter was reflecting on the vision God had given him, the Spirit said to him, who said it to him? Said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Arise, go downstairs, accompany them without misgivings. I have sent them myself. And that was, of course, when he had the sheep come down, has a vision in front of him, go kill these animals that you've never had. They were unclean to Jewish people, but God said, rise and eat. Don't call anything unclean that I've cleaned. Remember that whole section of Scripture? And so the Spirit talked to him about what had just happened. Next is Acts 13, verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, say it with me, please. Boom it out. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them. He's speaking. I want you to look at each other and ask this question sweetly, not harshly. Sweetly, look at each other and say, are you listening? I say that sweetly because sometimes that question gets asked of each other not that sweetly. Are you listening? How many times do I have to say this to you? Are you listening to me? Okay, I didn't mean to start an argument among you all. Come on now. All right, how? So if he's speaking, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Mostly through the Scripture. There are some who conclude that the only way God can speak to us today is through the Scripture. I don't believe that's what the Scripture teaches. But the most important way, the fundamental way, that your whole platform, that's why this is our textbook, is that the primary way God speaks is through His Scripture. But God uses other ways to speak to us as well. But I wouldn't give you 2 cents for what you're hearing if you're not living in this. Come on, I said I wouldn't give you 2 cents for what you're hearing if you're not living in this.
Amen.
Because God will never tell you with a voice to do something that goes contrary to His verse. Come on, I'm going to repeat the point just because that's good preaching, Pastor Kev. There's not going to be a time when God will tell you to do something by a voice that goes against His verse.
Amen.
So what do? We live in the Word of God. Then we're open to the moving of the Spirit to speak to us. But if it's not confirming to the Scripture or the principle of God, then set that voice aside. If you need to get some confirmation or, you know, give me a call and say, Pastor Kev, this is what I'm hearing from God, that I'm really supposed to be an anointed bank robber. What do you think? I say, well, let's talk a little about that. Okay, we're not going to get that kind of leading, but listen, you would be surprised what has been said throughout times, and God is blamed for things that people themselves have heard in a wrong voice. Now, you guys, as your pastor, I'm going to tell you something. I am not so puffed up and proud to think that everything I hear is God. Sometimes it was the bad pizza I ate the night before. You know what I'm saying? So you hold things before the Lord, but if it's completely contrary to Scripture, let me tell you a quick story. I know this sounds silly, but people get themselves into this kind of stuff. There was a man and woman that were going to commit adultery, and what they were going to do is they prayed together. Now that sounds silly, I know, but they prayed together. We're in a motel room, Lord. If you want us not to do this, have someone come and knock on the door. How many of you understand? Nobody ever knocked on the door. Was that God not speaking? Was it God saying that they should do this thing? Absolutely not. You don't need that voice when you've got a verse. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but God gets blamed for silly things. So, that's why this is important. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to say, it's where we really live. But God wants to speak to us, most importantly, through His Word. So you study the Word. You read the Word. You stay in the Word of God. All right? Other people say, well, God can speak to me through nature. He can. You know, we sang that song this morning, Come Behold the Mountains and the Trees. But did you notice in that one verse, but only man whom He has made can raise a glorious song of praise. He wants to hear your voice. And when you're, and you know, I worship God out on the golf course. I support you on the golf course, but I don't have you worship the golf course. Don't worship the mountains and the trees. You let them encourage you to go to God and give Him the praise for how beautiful of a place He made. Amen? Some people get that backwards. And there's a whole religion dedicated to that. The worship of the trees and the animals. Isn't it interesting, the utter hypocrisy, it's fine to kill a baby, but don't you dare kill a tree or a little animal. See? All wrong when you go off of God's Word. All right, but let's zero in on one little story this morning. Okay, one little story, and we're going to learn something about the principle of God and how He speaks to us. How does He speak to us? Watch this. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. We're dealing with Elijah, who had a wicked queen after him, and he was thinking that he was the only righteous guy left in the country, and so he's going off to a mountain to meet God, and he's upset. And here's what we find. And he's gone to this mountain, it's a good thing, to meet with God. Watch this. Then he said, God said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Wouldn't that be impressive? I mean, come on. Put yourself there. If you're up in a cave, you're coming to meet with God, and you hear God say, go out and watch what I'm going to do. He passes by. The place, man, just roars to life with this huge, strong wind. Rocks are breaking. Don't you think God would be saying something to you? Great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. Shaking. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Watch this. So it was when Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? How many know Elijah knew when he heard the voice of God? A lot of commotion doesn't always mean God's there, but God wants to speak. Now, God can raise His voice. God can use all these things. I believe it. But in this case, there's a principle He wants us to hear, that He wants to speak to us through that still, small voice of God. The nudges, the promptings. I've learned in my life enough times that when I didn't listen to those nudges and promptings of God, I was very sorry later. Have you ever learned that in your life? Sometimes people call it the conscience. God birthed us with an understanding of right and wrong, and He pricks us in our conscience with the Spirit of God. But He wants us to listen. How do you hear His still small voice? Number one, simple points. Simple message this morning. How do you hear His still small voice? Number one, take time. Mark 4, Matthew 4, Mark 1, I'm sorry, Matthew 4, Luke 4, and Mark 1 records, the Holy Spirit, if you remember, led or drove Jesus out into the wilderness where He then faced temptation. And after defeating the temptation, Jesus was comforted by God. But the Spirit spoke to Jesus. And from then on in the Scriptures, you read about how He loved to go into the wilderness or into the mountain to pray, to seek God. Alone time. Take what? Boy, you boomed that out to me. Thank you. I really appreciate that. A little convicting, isn't it? We have time for a lot of people. We have time for a lot of stuff. We'll make time for our special TV show. Do we make time for God? I want to see Jesus. I want to hear His voice. All right. Take time with Him. All right. If we haven't, let's start. Because that leads us to point number two. Practice. What was that?
Practice.
Practice listening. You might say to me, Pastor Kev, I don't hear anything. I'm listening. We got to shut the voice of the world. We got to turn off the TV. Even Christians, if you take your time solely with God, and you only take time with God with a background Christian music tape on, shut the tape off. God wants to hear your voice. Well, I don't have a great voice. All He says is make a joyful noise. Can anybody in this room make a joyful noise to God?
Yeah.
Okay. Make a joyful noise. Turn it off. He wants to speak to you. Conversation. The bridegroom, the bride. Watch. Hebrews 5, verse 14. Paul is saying to the Hebrews in this letter, solid food belongs to those who are full age, but those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Practice. Practice builds your muscles. Practice builds your stamina. Practice builds your breathing. Practice builds up your body and strengthens us. Practice builds your spiritual ability to hear from God. How many have ever heard of muscle memory? Sure, what you do over and over and over again builds a mapping in your brain and in your muscles. When we take time with God every day, you are spiritually muscle memorying in your spirit. It comes from practice. Discernment. Learning to hear the voice of God. You learn and grow as you do it over and over again. All right. Number three, remove the barriers. Now, sin is a barrier. Number one, turn away from sin. Under removing barriers, A is turn away from sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from God. So any known sin that you've got, turn away from it. I want to be right with God. I want to be. So when I know I'm in sin, I need to repent of it. And the gracious thing is, God forgives me because He wants me right with Him. And then I need to also reject the wrong voices. And you guys, I'm not a real negative preacher, I know. But there are some things we watch or listen to that don't put good voices in our souls. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You think lyrics don't matter? Lyrics matter. If you're listening now, I could talk to another generation with this, but if you listen, the lyrics are full of stuff all day long about murder and rape and lust and greed. And I'm not just talking country music. Sorry, I tread on somebody's water there. You thought I was going to say rap, didn't you? I could see it in your eyes. Anyway, you know, it's you shut it off. What is the old joke? You know, you shut that stuff off, you get your dog and your truck back and your wife back, and it's a little joke. Lyrics do make a difference. Listen, if the Word of God is not put in, don't expect the Word of God to come out. Okay? If the Word of God is not put in, don't expect the Word of God to come out. So, let's remove the barriers. So, number one, take time. Number two, you got to practice. And number three, remove the barriers if you know of any. And number four, and this is it, love and live in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved to God. If the voice you're hearing, again, is contrary to God's Word, it's the wrong voice. Number four. Number five, trust and obey. Step out in faith. God will speak to you and He will lead you. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will save your life sometimes if you'll listen to Him. That nudging, that divine delay in your schedule, wherever it is and you respond to God, He may just spare your life, the life of your family or your friends. Have you ever felt in the middle of the night or at some awkward time, maybe it's past 9 o'clock, you don't feel you should call somebody, but the Holy Spirit tells you, I want you to call somebody and give them this verse of Scripture. They need some encouragement before the Lord. Have you ever felt that before the Lord? Well, God wants to do that. Listen, guys, we're living in a tough day. Okay? Stop teaching. Start talking. We're living in a tough day. Do you know that? Negative day, angry spirit all around the world. The economy's falling apart. People don't do what it seems like they should do. There's crime in our streets. And we're living in quiet Olympic Peninsula area. And yet there are problems and people are hurting. And you've got needy people who need food and clothing and shelter. And we're the body of Christ. And God wants to use us to help other people. But we got to listen to know what to do. And I believe right here in this room, God wants to speak to us, each of us. And there are people, you've got a sphere of influence. There are people who need you listening and stepping out and obeying Him. And He will minister through you. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you know anybody in your life that needs some encouragement? Anybody in this room need encouragement? I should see 100% of the hands up in the air. All right? But God wants to speak through you. Can we get out of our comfort zone and allow Him to do it? What have you done if you do something like that and make a mistake? Listen, I remember learning how to hear the voice of God as a younger man. And the Lord said, now, right now, Pastor Cron, Pastor Sherry had been at a conference. Just gotten back late the night before. And it was early. God says, listen. They need some encouragement, and here's a verse. I want you to call them, and I want you to encourage them. But Lord, they just got back. No, this is me. I want you to call them, and I want you to encourage them. So I called them. They were not encouraged. I said, but I felt God led me. They were very gracious to me, but no, Kevin, we can't confirm this. We were not awake. But you know what? So what? They were sweet to me. And the more you learn to do those kinds of things, you're going to hit it right more times than not. And when you do, who's going to be the most encouraged? Because there are plenty of times over the years God's given me a word that has encouraged them. But if we won't step out and do that for one another, people go encourageless or without the insight they need. God might give you exactly the word that's necessary at that moment to keep someone alive. Alive. Are we willing to feel a little foolish, but be obedient to God and step out in faith? If we say, Lord, lead me by your Spirit, I want the Holy Spirit involved in my life, that means He's going to start speaking to us. What have you risked if you're wrong? A little embarrassment. But what have you right? Great encouragement. Nationwide preacher, T.D. Jakes, black preacher in Texas, fantastic man of God. I love to go to conferences and listen to black style preachers. I think I'm passionate every now and then, but I'm nothing on their scale. I love it. But he was telling a story recently, and he said, this has just happened in the last year. You might have even heard about it several months ago. His habit on Sunday morning is to get up at 6 o'clock or at 6:30, and he spends time in his office praying and preparing, and then he is picked up by someone, taken to his very large church where he has a meeting, and then they go out and have their service. 6:30 rolled around, woke up just as his habit is. His office is in another wing of the home, and he felt checked by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to sleep for another half hour. Just rest for another half hour. And you go, okay. And then all of a sudden he gets a text. And the person who normally picks him up texts him. And he says, you want me to still come pick you up at the regular time? And he goes, no, I'm going to rest for another half hour. Texts him back. The follow-up text comes back, well, don't you remember? You have a very special 8 o'clock meeting. And like that, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, cancel that meeting. And so he did. He didn't wrestle with God. He just said, okay, cancel that meeting. Sorry, it's going to have to be another time. Rested another half hour. And all of a sudden, the end of that half hour, his wife wakes him up and she says, there's a problem. We got a problem in the house. I've just heard something. And all of a sudden, an explosion rips through the other wing of the house. Completely demolished, even the bricks, every brick, no brick was left on its foundation, no brick left touching another brick, just immediately demolished that whole wing of the house. And if he hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit, he would have been dead, killed, and so would the other person who was coming to pick him up. He listened to the voice of the Spirit. I'm going to close with one final story. Trust and obey. A simple young man had been in a Bible study on a Wednesday night where they'd been talking about listening to God and obeying the voice of the Lord. The young man couldn't help but wonder if the Holy Spirit will still speak to me and people today. And so he went out with some friends afterwards for coffee and pie, and they discussed the message, and several different ones talked about how God had led them in different ways. And it was about 10 o'clock at night when the young man was driving home. Sitting in his car, he began to pray, God, if you're still speaking to people, talk to me. I'll listen. I'm going to do my very best to obey you. Speak to me. So he's driving down the main street of his little town, and he's got the strangest feeling or thought in his heart. Stop in and buy a gallon of milk. Shook his head. He said out loud, God, is that you? He didn't get a reply, and he kept driving on home. And then again, the thought comes through, buy a gallon of milk. So he started thinking about Samuel. Remember your Old Testament scripture where Samuel was a boy and God started calling out to him, and he didn't recognize that voice. And so he didn't know what to do at first. But Samuel was taught, speak, Lord, for your servant hears, is what he should say. And so then he said, okay, Lord, just in case this is you, I'm going to go buy the milk. I mean, after all, what am I out? A couple of bucks, and I could use the milk, so no problem. So he purchased the gallon of milk, and he's on his way back going home. He passes by 7th Street, and again, he feels a new nudging. Turn down that street. This is crazy. I don't know anybody down that street. So he drove right on through to the next intersection. And again, he's feeling this nudging. He goes, okay, all right. So he turns back around and goes back down 7th Street. Half jokingly, he says, okay, God, here I am. So then he gets down several blocks, and all of a sudden, he feels like, stop the car. So he pulls over to the curb and looks all around. It's in a semi-commercial area of town. It wasn't the best area of town, but it wasn't the worst either. But businesses were closed and homes were dark and people were probably already in bed. And again, he felt another leading, nudging. I want you to go give that milk to people inside that house across the street. Young man looked at the house. It was dark. These people are asleep, or they're gone. He starts to open the car door, and he just can't do it. He gets back inside the car, and he says, this is crazy. This is insane. If the people are even there, they're going to hate me for knocking on their door, and I'm going to look so stupid. But again, the nudging in his heart. Go and give them the milk. Finally, he opens the car door and he says, okay, God, if this is you, I'll go to the door, I'll give them the milk. If you want me to look like an absolute crazy person, okay. I want to be obedient to you. I guess my obedience will count for something, but if they don't answer right away, I'm getting out of here. So he walks across the street and he rings the bell. He can hear some noise inside. A man's voice yells out, who is it? What do you want? Then the door opens before the young man could get away. The man was standing there in his jeans and his t-shirt and looked like he just got out of bed and had a strange look on his face, and he didn't seem too happy to have some stranger standing at his doorstep. What is it? The young man, by this time, he's going, oh, what am I into? He just thrust the gallon of milk into the guy's hands. Here, I brought this to you. The young man took the milk and ran down the hallway of his house. From down the hall came a woman carrying the milk back toward him and toward the kitchen. The man was following her, holding a baby. The baby was crying. But now the man inside the house had tears running down his face. Elaine, would you come, please? The man began speaking and half crying, and he looked at this kid. He says, we were just praying. We had some big bills this month, and we completely ran out of money, and we didn't even have any money for milk for our child. And I was just in my room praying, God, show me how to get some milk for our baby. His wife now in the kitchen yells out, I asked him to send an angel with some. Are you an angel? The young man reached into his wallet and pulled out every dollar that he had and all the money he had on him, and he thrust it into the guy's hand. He turned and he walked back to his car. Now his tears are just streaming down his face as he knows now personally God will still speak if we'll just listen and obey. Now, I know that we are in a tough time in our area, in our nation, and in our day. And God's looking for worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth, who will listen and obey, and maybe in stuff that seems foolish. I'm not telling you to do something illegal. If you're a young lady, I'm not sending you down to downtown Tacoma tonight to feel led by the Spirit. I wouldn't necessarily trust that leading. But God will use us in ways that may seem unusual to us. But if you have that lady, that leading, young ladies, you're all young ladies. If you have that leading, grab several guys and say, here's my leading, come with me. Then you'll be safe. Pray for someone. Pray about something. Do something. With the leading of the Spirit. Let's watch what He'll do. Because, church, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Are we listening? Someone say, yes, Pastor Kev, I'm listening. Are you a candidate? Holy Spirit, speak to me, and I'll obey you. Let's stand. Lord, here we are this morning. We're here as your people, knowing that we need you, knowing that we love you, that we're grateful for you. And we're also people who love you, and we want to hear your voice speaking to us. Lord, let your Spirit speak, and together we'll say as a congregation, we'll obey you, Lord. Say that with me, won't you? We'll obey you, Lord. This week, say it to Jesus. This week, I will obey you, Jesus. Lead me and speak to me. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray for this precious group of people that you will do just what we've asked. Lead us by your Spirit, we pray. Oh, how we do love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, do that today. He loves you so much. It's no accident that we're here. Let God minister to you. Come on up and we'll pray for you afterwards. If there's a need in your life where you need the Spirit of God to touch you in some way or healing to speak to you, God will do it. Come on up. We'll be honored to pray. Kathy, I want to specifically speak in front of everybody right now to you for a moment. We all love you, and we know you're going this week in a situation that's not pleasant. And Kathy's the youngest one in her family as her older sister passed away. But the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, Kathy, and I believe, we are going to believe together, whether it's peace, comfort, a verse of Scripture, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit wants to give it to you this morning and then have you give it away this week. As you're hurting in your situation, there are others who need the peace and presence of God that you will be bringing them. So we bless you in the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you again for the Holy Spirit that moves in our lives. Now bless each one in this place as they go forward into the joy of your presence this week, led and guided by your Spirit. And we'll look forward to gathering together again and sharing the testimonies together of what you've done as you've moved through us. We believe you and we thank you.